A very good morning to you, Namibia, and good morning to you, my dear listener. And thank you, David, for handing over the mic to this side of the world. Coming to you live and from the Ondangwa studio, a very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us at this point in time. And it's always our pleasure having you. And thank you for joining us. So our time, it's about around 8 o'clock. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Welcome to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and I will be with you from now until the hour of 10 o'clock when we will be handing over to Tate France later on. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Shoveni, you're tuned into Unpacking the Day, your daily dose, of what is really going on in terms of business, economic, and political news. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation, so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me, and get to the part, to the heart of the stories. So our time, 2 minutes, and thanks for joining us. If it's for your first time, welcome to the family. Welcome to the Eagle FM family. And as we normally do here on Unpacking the Day, we normally go back into time. We go back into time. We look at what happened on this day in Africa. So we relive what has happened on this day in Africa, or we remind ourselves of what happened on this day in Africa. So, well, to our African audience and everywhere in the world, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are tuning in across the continent and around the world. So welcome to On This Day in Africa. Today we are turning, you know, the pages of history back to April the 24th, and we start in West Africa. So on this day in 1960, Togo officially broke free from French colonial rule and became an independent nation. Now, this wasn't just, a papers exercise. You know, this was a powerful moment in the great wave of decolonization sweep across the continent. Now, people who had lived under foreign control for generations were finally taking their reign of their own country. Now, Sylvanus Olympio step up as Togo's first president, you know, carrying the hope and the dream of the new nation on his shoulder. Independence Day. Today is an Independence Day in Togo, and they made a fresh start on this day in 1916. All right, and now let's go back a little further to 1955. On April the 24th of that year, the historic Bandung conference in Indonesia came to a close. This one really matter because 29 nations from Africa and Asia gathered together and said In no uncertain terms, we reject colonialism and we reject racism. Now, this was a bold, unified stand that helped lay the groundwork for what would become the non-aligned movement. So a way for nation to stay out of the Cold War, take off war between the superpowers. So it was a statement to the world. We are not pawn, or we are not pawns of your chessboard. So that was now the message to the world. Now, and we come to one of the darkest chapter in modern African history. On this day, 1994, the Rwandan genocide was raging, and it was getting worse by the hour. It was really getting worse by the hour. Hundreds of thousands of Tutsis and moderate Hutus were being slaughtered, many of them hacked to death with machetes, and this happened in their homes, in churches, in schools, and the world watched slowly, reluctantly, and far too late. The international community faced fierce criticism for its failure to act, for its delays, and for turning a blind eye while a nation bled. It is a painful reminder that words of never again, mean nothing without actions. So, yeah. And then let's just shift our gear a little bit. Let's shift the gear. On this day, in 1967, the political idea of Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah were published in a collection called Axioms of Kwame Nkrumah. Even though Nkrumah had been overthrown in a coup earlier that year, his ideas didn't die. So this book reinforced his vision of Pan-African unity and African socialism. So the belief that the continent's strength lies in standing together and not apart. So, and those ideas, they didn't just sit on the shelf in the book. They fed directly into the liberation movement across Africa, inspiring people who were still fighting for their freedom. All right, and finally, on this day in 1995, the people of Niger marked a peace agreement designed to bring an end to years of internal conflict. Now, this day became known as the National Day of Concord, a symbol of reconciliation, of choosing peace over violence, of finding way forward after a bitter division in that country. Now, as it is a reminder that even after the deepest conflict, there is always a path back to unity if people are willing to walk it. All right, that is your history for today, April the 24th. And thank you for tuning in too on this day in Africa. All right. So today is the 24th of April. It's a Friday. And the thought for the day, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So today's thought is very simple. The loudest card is often the emptiest one. The loudest card is often the emptiest one. So in life, some people make a lot of noise. But when you look closely, there's a little substance behind it. So absolutely. So now the real value does not need to shout. It doesn't need to shout. Let your work speak for you. So, and as we go on with our day today, let our work do the talk, okay? Not our shouting. All right, so that's your thought for the day this morning. All right, good morning. All roads are coming to Ondangwa. All roads are coming to Ondangwa. This we are starting with the Ondangwa, you know, trade and industry, starting with Ondangwa Trade Fair this morning. I mean today. So all roads are coming these directions. So please, when you come to Ondangwa, make sure that you know. Yeah, you come peacefully. You come to do business, okay? Not to disturb and you know, become unbecoming, okay? Not to disturb and become unbecoming. So all the roads are coming down here. So it will be busy these days. So until the whole of next week. All right. Good morning. Welcome, and everyone. Welcome to Ondangwa. Okay. On behalf of the Ondangwa residents. I'm not Ondangwa resident, but I'm welcoming you from Eagle FM point of view. All right. So, yeah, welcome. And today, what we're going to look at that there was a collaborative summit or something, a summit that actually took place in at the coast, and President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has called for the sustainable and collaborative management of Namibia's fishing industry. So, and she was highlighting its status as a vital national asset that drives employment, export earnings, and also food security. So we're going to look at what the president was saying, what the president said during that, because she said during that summit, a three-day summit that took place in the at the coast. So we're going to look at that. Is it the coast? Yeah, it was at the coast, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to look at that, what she has said, and also looking at the fishing crisis. The crisis in the fishing industry. So just to give you some, a little background and understanding of what is going on based on what took place, because the president sees that, well, there's a lot of that is going on that need her attention, and that's why she also said for 3 days in that summit as well. So that shows how serious, how the government is taking that sector or that industry very serious. So we're gonna go into some of the aspect, looking at some of the aspect and analyze and unpack them. All right, and also if we still have time, they say the cabinet has approved a rollout of satellite broadcasting project. So that came out last week. Yeah, the last week. So we're going to look at that. Just have a look at that if we still have time. But you know, your participation will also be part of the, definitely of the show. Show you most welcome to pack, to unpack everything, you know, with me. So good morning and welcome to your favorite station, Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is...
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
you'll get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
And that's right, 16 past the hour of 8, it's your time, and welcome, and thank you for joining us, welcome. So, and please, if you are looking for the latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager. And what you need to do, you simply need to send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure that you subscribe for your next edition that's coming up Monday already. So if you missed out on today... So, and the story that we will be looking at, so we have also a story, that story is in today's edition. Make sure that you read it, and the number of other stories that are found in today's edition. So, all right. Okay, so good morning, and welcome to another edition of Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host, Big Mike. And today we are getting into the fishing industry crisis that has been grabbing the headlines. So the President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah recently opened a 3-day consultative summit in Wavish Bay, aimed at tackling two major challenges that are facing actually the sector. One is declining fish stock, and also the second one is deteriorating labor conditions in the sector. So the big question, I think, on everyone's mind is, can Namibia really save its fishing industry before it is too late? And this is the question we are going to unpack. So this morning, so can Namibia save its fishing industry before it is too late? So, all right, it's always, it's always good to, to put you in a framework, to give you the background, not the background, to give you a little bit more to understand where we are in terms of the industry. Namibia, our fishing industry has long been really a cornerstone of our economy. It has been the cornerstone of our economy. It accounts for around 7% of our GDP, and it supports over 16,000 direct jobs, with many more in associated sectors like processing and logistics. But despite its importance, I think despite its importance, the industry is actually facing some severe challenges. And the president acknowledged this in her opening remark at the summit itself, highlighting a worrying downward trend in the main regulated fish species. There are some, very, very, very important fish species that are actually going that are going in a downward direction, you know, which the president realized maybe this is going too far. So I need to step in. So before now, before we get into the politics and the finger pointing, okay, of everyone at the, I can just imagine in that summit, you know. So let's just look at the cold and hard numbers, you know. You remember? I always tell you, numbers don't lie. I love numbers, you know, because you can't dispute numbers, okay, unless someone put up a wrong number, but still it's telling you something. So, yeah, numbers don't lie. And what they are telling us should worry. I think what they are telling us should worry a little bit. Not a little bit, actually, should worry. If it worries the president, so it should worry you as well. So it should worry every Namibian. All right. So now, I said, I earlier mentioned 7%. So this is how much the fishing sector contribute to our gross domestic product. That might sound small to some, you know, you might think that's actually small, but think about it this way, okay? That is billion of Namibian dollar every single year, all right? Now, fishing is our fourth largest export category. In 2024 alone, just in 2024, fish export were valued at nearly 15 billion. All right, 15 billion in 2024. Now, and here's where it's getting concerning now. All right, now in 24, when you look in 2024, the fishing sector real growth rate was negative 2.7%. Negative 2.7. That means the industry actually contracted. It declined. All right, it contracted the year before as well. Even the year before it's contracted, it declined at negative 3.2%. So two consecutive years of contraction, of decline. So, and I wonder why the president, you know, kind of see this trend and just decided, something is not going right. So, and looking at that, that is not, actually, when you look at that, that's not just saying, sometimes you have this dip, just a little, you know, downtrend, and then, you know, it pick up over the years. So when you look at that, it's not really a small dip or just a dip. That is a trend. You can see that it's becoming a trend. A trend, and trends normally have consequences. Yeah, so and the other thing, so that's one area. Now we see that trend, the trend of really down contracted, you know, we see that actually and going down and declining over the years. So, and then there are the jobs. The sector support roughly 16,000 direct jobs. So you add now, you can add that processing, logistics and transport and all the knock-on industry around Wavish Bay and Lutris. So, and you are talking about tens of thousands of Namibian families who actually depend on this sector. So, and you know these things when you say, you know, when fishing sneezes, the whole industry, as you can see, you know, the industry have many, it has many knock-on industry around, you know. You have processing, you have logistic, you know, transport, not just the fishing itself, you know, but you have others. So the whole industry, you know, catches the cold, you know. So when it sneezes, the whole industry catches the cold. And right now, as we're speaking, the fishing industry is not actually catching a cold. Actually, you know, where it's not just sneezing, it's running a fever. this time it's not just sneezing, you know, it's actually running a fever. And that's why you have the president, you know, taking this on his own shoulder, taking this on herself. So, Yeah, and as I said, when I said it's not sneezing, it's running a fever. We even at least 200 workers have been retrenched recently. 223 former Walu Fishing employees. They went month without pay. This is even before the government had to step in and find them the new places. So, workers, you remember also the workers from United Fishing Enterprises had been without jobs since 2018. You know, these are, and when you look at those, these are not just statistics. These are not statistics. These are people, you know, Namibian people, our brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers trying to feed, you know, their children. So, yeah, as I said, it's running fever. The industry is running a fever. It's not sneezing, so it needs an intervention. Hopefully, as I said, as I asked earlier, and the questions, how do we, you know, how do we make sure the question that we unpacking to say, can Namibia save its fishing industry before definitely it's too late? And that's what we're looking at. So that's why we're looking at what is going on. All right. So, yeah. So maybe the question that we need to ask before we come to what the president is saying is really, so why this is happening? Maybe let's give a little bit of, you know, understanding on that. Why this is happening? We try to help you really understanding, you know, what's happening in this sector, to understand where the president is coming from. When the president say what she said, you know, so where she's coming from is for you now to get a background, a little bit of what is going on. So, and yeah, maybe that the question we need to look at, why this is happening. And first, the first part of the answer lies in the ocean itself. Okay, the first part of that, it lies in the ocean itself. The fish are disappearing, my friend. The fish are disappearing. That should shock you. The fish are disappearing, and I do not say that lightly. Okay, I'm saying that with a smile of my face, but I should be saying that with a very serious face. So the fish are disappearing. Now let me tell you I'm going to take you through the key species, okay? So there are key species that, you know, so it's like when you have the critical minerals that becomes, some fish are not, like, you know, we in Namibia, sometimes I don't even know the difference. I eat fish. Well, when it's well cooked and all that, but I'm not really a fish person. Yeah, so, yeah. So, there are some fish that are very, very, very important, like the horse mackerel. Horse mackerel is the backbone of our pelagic fishing industry. You know, in 2022, the total allowable catch for horse mackerel was 330,000 metric tons. So by 2026, that was now in 2022, by 2026, that number has been slashed to 197,000 metric tons. So that is a 40% cut in just 4 years. 40%. Well, imagine if it was your salary, if your salary was cut, you know, by 40%. Could you survive, you know? Could you survive? I'm just thinking, you know, as I said, the fish are disappearing, you know? So, and that's why the total allowable catch were reduced to that number of tons, you know, now 197,000 metric tons. So, and remember, as you reduce the number of TAC, it becomes, it affects also the number of people that you employ. So we're going to come back after this.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Our time is 30 minutes past the hour of 8. Yeah, and we're looking at the, we're reacting to the summit, the fishing summit that actually took place in at the coast, where the president also attended, looking at the fishing industry crisis. So, and we, I'm just looking at was actually saying what is actually happening, why is this is actually happening. We see actually a declining in fishing, and we're looking at specific species, the key species like horse mackerel, which has been actually the backbone of our fishing industry, especially the pelagic fishing industry. So, and we see that there has been the total allowable catch has been, you know, decreasing. Into when we look at from 2022, the total allowable catch for horse mackerel was actually 330,000 metric tons, but by 2026 the number has been, you know, slashed to 197,000 metric tons. So, and that's about 40% cut, you know, in just 4 years. All right. So the 2024 annual survey, you know, along the Northern Benguela ecosystem, which runs between March and April every year, confirmed an 8% decline in horse mackerel biomass. And this is just 8% in a single year. This is 8% in a single year. So on top of years of consecutive declines. So yeah, it doesn't show that trajectory. It's not good. All right, it's not good at all. Now the president herself acknowledged this in her State of Nation address last month, admitting that admitting to what she actually called a general downward trend across all the main regulated species. So yeah, that has been, as I said, it's a concerning, it's very concerning, and the president actually taking this very, 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 very seriously. So, and now let's talk about hake, you know, and that's my favorite fish, okay, which I don't see it anymore, which I don't eat anymore, you know. Can you imagine? We don't really. Okay, it's just in some shops when you're in certain areas, and something maybe people think, sometimes some shops realize, okay, people don't really buy much of those fish, these expensive fishes, and you don't see them quite often anymore, you know. So like the hakes, you don't see them quite often, you know. The one that has been prepared already, that you just put on toturegenaiko makara, eh? So yeah, the hake is our most valuable export species. The total allowable catch has been trimmed from around 148,000 ton in 2022 to 133,000 tons for 2025-2026 season. That's also a 10% reduction. So, here is the thing is here now, it's something that we actually also discussed here, I think, a few weeks ago. And this is very, this is the ironic part. You know, And these are the things that we need to, and these are the issues that the stakeholders and the players sometimes bring out as problems that are going on. So the ironic thing is that Namibia's hake industry has also to import, you know, fish worth nearly something we also discussed, nearly 140 million in the final quarter of 2025 alone. That just in November, December, you know, September, October, November, December, the last 3 months of those. So nearly 150 million in the final quarter of the 2025, you know, alone. So we are one of the top hake producing nation. Okay? And we are importing hake to keep our factory actually running. Eh? So this is like it's like a farmer buying maize meal at the supermarket because his own field has gone dry. Eh? And that actually tells you everything you need to know about the state of our fish stock. It just tells you. That's all what you need really to know about the state of our fish stock. So that we have to go and buy and export and import worth and another fish, hake fish, worth of 150 million, 140 million, you know. So then there is the P chart. And then there is a P chart, also known as sardines. Okay, this is a sardinia moshiputu. You know, the sardine stock has been under really a commercial, for now, it has been under the commercial moratorium for years. And the 2026 scientific study found that sardine in the northern Benguela are showing what researchers call somatic growth failure. And population recovery failure. So what that means is that the fish are struggling to grow. All right? Sometimes you fish too much and you depleted that species. So, yeah, what that somatic growth failure and population recovery failure means that, you know, the fish are struggling to grow, they are struggling to reproduce, and struggling to bounce back. So the scientists say a full recovery could actually take a decade, could some more years before it's actually fully recovered. So there is not even allowable catch for sardine, you know, for a sardinia, because they haven't recovered. There has been a moratorium on a commercial moratorium, I think, for a couple of years now. So, and the scientific study has now shown that, you know, we still have to wait. I think we have really to be careful. And we really have to be careful. Otherwise, we find ourselves, you know, as this is going down. And as I said, this is very serious. As you can see, the president, you know, take it upon herself to make sure she go and listen what is going on, where you have all the stakeholders summit, where you have all the stakeholders meeting on that summit. And behind all of this, it's a larger environmental story. It's really a large environmental story. The sea surface temperature of the northern Namibia have risen by 0.2. Have risen by 0.2 to 0.5 degree. So to 0.5 degrees Celsius per decade. You understand? So the Benguela Nino events, which push warm nutrient, the nutrient poor water into our fishing ground. So are becoming more frequent and more intense. Okay, so now during the 2023-2024 El Nino, our upwelling system was weakened, and meaning fewer nutrient reached the surface where the fish feed. So yeah, the science is very clear. As you can see, the science is very clear. Climate change is eating into our fish stock. So it's also eating into our fish stock, and there is a little, there's very little, I think we can do about the ocean temperature rising. There's nothing that we can do. That's actually natural. So, so when people now, you know, when people tell you fishing crisis is just about bad management or corrupt officials, well, remind them that the ocean itself is changing. Yeah, the ocean itself is changing, and the problem is bigger than politics. Okay, it's definitely bigger than politics. But does that does not mean we should ignore the politics? That doesn't mean we should ignore the politics. In fact, the political mismanagement is making a bad natural situation much, 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 much worse. So, and we need to look at that as well. All right. So 41 minutes past the hour of 8, so it's our time, and if you're tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So with all this, actually, now let's talk about the human cost, okay? So I was just giving you a little bit of a background where we are in terms of the industry. But let's also look at the human cost, because behind every tons of fish that we're talking about, behind every export figures, you know, there are people, real people, and right now those people are hurting. They are really hurting. So the Namibian what is the organization? The National Labor Organization, NANLO, they were also at this summit. They were also at this week's summit. They were there as well, and the General Secretary described the fishing industry as being in a deep crisis. When I'm saying that it's in a deep crisis, it's not me saying that. I'm just repeating what those are in the industry are saying. So they're saying it's actually being in a deep crisis that disproportionately affect workers. So that means the workers are the one that are paying the price. Okay, the workers are the one that are paying the price. And yeah, maybe let's look at that, what it means for men and women, you know, on the factory floor. The one that are on the factory floor. So think about a seasonal worker, okay? A seasonal worker at the fishing processing plant in Wavish Bay, or maybe in Lidritz. You know, she get hired on a fixed term contract when the fishing season's open, on a fixed contract. And she work long hours in a cold, you know, tough conditions, cleaning and packing fish for export to Europe and Asia. Now, when the season ends, or when the total allowable catch is cut, as we're talking about now, okay, when it's cut, her contract ends too. You know, her contract ends too. No pay, no benefit, no job security. So that's the condition, that's the environment that many of these people are finding themselves. Now, next season, she does not know if she will be called back. Eh? She doesn't know if she will be called back. And this is what now they call. This is what they call no work, no pay. No work, no pay, and it means exactly what it sounds like. No work, no pay. So if there's no fish to process, there's no money to take home. No fish to process, no money to take home. So the union are raising now serious concern about the widespread, you know, the widespread use of fixed term contract and labor hire arrangement. That's the that's one of the issue of the topic on the agenda, especially the fixed term contract and labor hire arrangement. So it's one of the issues that were on the agenda of that summit. So which means that companies, when we talk about the fixed term contract and labor hire arrangement, it means that companies are increasingly using temporary workers instead of permanent employees. And for them, and why they are doing this, because it is cheaper. For the company, it's because it's cheaper. So you do not have to pay benefits. You do not have to offer job security. So it's quite, it's far cheaper. And then they have been doing that, which is also, I think, contradictory to labor, to the labor law. So, so also when times are tough for companies, when times are tough for the company, you just do not renew the contract. They don't renew the contract. The worker, and then in this case, the workers actually bear all the risk, you know, while the company walk away, I think, with much profit. So because you don't have to have permanent employees, which then where you actually have to give, you know, all benefits. So in the end, the company actually make profit, and who are at the end of the, you know, who actually paid the price? Of course, as we say, it's the workers. And that has been a big issue or a problem. So Nanlo made a powerful point at the summit. You know, they said that the fishing sector contributes significantly, and we know this, is significantly to the national economy. And yet now the people who actually labor within it, okay, remain the poorest of the poor in the supply chain. And, well, when you look at that, that's not surprising. That's, in fact, not surprising. That's actually what's happening in every sector. So the people that are labor, the actual laborers, the people that are actually working in those, in many of these sectors, remain poor. Where you can go to mining, you know, the same story happened. The same story continues. So they remain the poorest of the poor in the supply chain. You know? So, yeah. And I want you to think about that statement for a moment. You know, I want you to think for that statement for a moment. Because an industry, think of this really. And sometimes we don't pay attention to the things. Thank us. Thank Unpacking the Day. That can go a little bit deeper than what you do. So, now the industry generating a $15 billion a year. Okay? $15 billion a year, and the workers at the bottom cannot feed their family properly. Something fundamentally wrong with that picture. Something fundamentally really wrong with that picture. Eh? So now the union also raised a concern about transparency. They also raised a concern about that. They argue that decision about quota allocations and employment practice have been made without actually meaningful consultation. And I think with this, that means without consultation with the union, with the workers themselves. So decisions are just made without employment practices that are lawfully should be followed. So that, in other words, the people whose lives are mostly affected by these decisions are the last to be asked what they think, you know, and that is not dialogue. That's not dialogue. That is dictation. That's actually dictation, not dialogue. So even if, and what I have also to think about when you have a platform like a summit, you know, do you, you know, is this just, or would you want to be seen being, doing something or like a listening, or you literally, even whatever that comes out of the summit, you're going to, that you're going to do something. Yeah. So what many people skeptical all the time is that, because we see this all over. So we see this all over, year in, year out, okay? So we see this all over in different sector, you know, meeting, launches, I mean, a different summit, different launch of this committee, of this whatever, of this body. And that's all what you hear. You hear them when the conferences and things happening, you know? And then from there, you will only hear another one after maybe a year or two. Another, and you kind of like, and as I said, and sometimes, and I said, we don't do a good job as well as journalists and all that, because we also failed to actually follow up. I think it's also on us. We only, as I said, the other time I said, we are more like reporters. We only produce what we are given. We don't go and do investigation in terms of, okay, there was this and that and that. Where, how far did it go? We don't do that quite often. I think we also, as a media, we're actually failing terribly. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think we cannot talk. You cannot talk about the fishing crisis in Namibia without really talking about quotas. You can't. You have got to speak about quotas. You know, quota are the payments that determine how much fish a company is allowed to catch. We cannot. We can't talk about crisis, fishing crisis, without really talking about quotas. And in Namibia, quotas have been, I think it has been at the center of some of the biggest corruption scandals this country has ever seen. You know, so we all remember the fish rot, not the oil rot. Yeah, why everything has to be rot? So yeah, the fish rot. Has this been the fish rot? Is it is this word existed before? Like there were other scandals that were referred as fish rot. Now I'm outside, even outside Namibia, or it was just fish rot has. It's a new word that actually came out because of a scandal. You know, find out if there is have been a fish rot, this word has been used. Or that was actually just the first time coined. This word was actually coined with this event. Yeah, so we all remember that, the fish rot, the scandal that erupted in 2019, just to remind you, when the Al Jazeera investigation. That's the investigator. That's what I'm talking about. We don't do enough. You know, we only produce what we are given. We receive the report, we receive the press release, and that's what we put out there. So we don't do much of our own digging, and when we bring it to you, we give all the more or less like I could actually go and read for you what is actually in the article, you know. But I look at what's in the article and kind of like, okay, what are the issues that what are the issues about this what is happening, and do some research, you know, to actually then bring you a full picture of what is happening. Yeah. So, yeah. As I said, this is a scandal that erupted in 2019 when the Al Jazeera investigation exposed a bribery scheme involving Namibian fishing quotas. So 10 men, around 10 men were charged with 42 counts, including corruption, you know, fraud, racketeering, you know, and money laundering. So, and we know some former ministers, former government officials, top industry figures. You know, it's a well orchestrated, you know, web, if you like. And the accused then include the former Fishery Ministry Minister Bernard Esau, and former Justice Minister Saki Shangala, and it has been nearly 7 years since those arrests, and the trial is still dragging on through the pre-trial hearings and legal maneuvers. So yeah, now coming back, now the government introduced, during when that happened, you know, when that happened, then the government promised, the government realized, okay, the government then introduced something called the Government Employment Redress Program, you know, the GERP, you know, GERP, in short, back in 2020. Now they introduced that. Now the idea was, I think at that time, not only at that time, but it was a noble idea. It was noble enough, you know, after illegal strike and the fish rot fallout, over 2,000 fishermen lost their jobs. Now the GERP, government employment redress program, was designed now to get those people back to work by linking quota allocation to employment numbers. So that was now the idea. And in theory, if a company wanted fish quota, it had to hire workers. So good idea on paper, right? Yes. But in practice, fishermen association have protested what they actually called government negligence in job allocation and GERP. You know, some have even described the program as a self-enrichment scheme, you know, where companies receive quota, but then they fail to deliver on their employment promises. So, and remember, I think there was also the Walu fishing saga. There was a Walu fishing saga. So that company was accused of failing to pay 223 workers while holding on to a valuable host of quarters. Remember those? You know? So, yeah, here we can't forget. That's what we do. You know, we can't forget that. Now, the government eventually had to step in and facilitate the re-employment of those workers with other companies. Okay? So, and the Auditor General's office is now investigating alleged fraud in the program. So, you see, we started a program that we thought was a solution, and then, boom, others, we like, give us a system, we're going to really get into that and destroy it. Not destroy it, use it to our advantage, corruptly, you know? So, yeah, and we're still going to get to the president. And let us not forget, about, which is actually have been a problem in the fishing industry, you know, the legal fishing. The legal fishing. Our waters are regularly targeted by foreign vessels. With our sea, what is that? How is it called? Sea Shepherd, reporting the rest of 30 vessels. They arrest like they're reporting of the arrest of 30 vessels involved in illegal fishing operation off our coast. 30 vessels. Opopenum Pofi. Really, 30 vessels? Maybe some of us don't know the industry, but to think of that, arrested 30 vessels involving illegal fishing operation, are those, and we talk about foreign, you know, foreign vessels. Somebody's telling someone, hey, man, kwinyokunom pofi bi ileni, eh? In 2023, the total landed, we also talk about, you know, that the bycatch catch, maybe I can put it that way, You know, in 2023, something that we talked about here as well, you know, the total landed value by Bakage stood at 428 million. The Bakage are those fish you catch incidentally, and when you were given a quota, because you're getting a quota, you are given a specific kind of fish that you need to catch. But in catching, you also catch other species that you are not supposed to. So normally you're allowed to, you know, the whole rule is like, okay, if you catch fish that you're not allowed to, put them back. Yeah, put them back. So, but people don't put them back. They are then fined for what they have. So now, when you look at the Bakage stood at 428 million, but only about 64 million was paid to the state. And that's a massive, massive, massive gap. A gap that raises serious question about, one, that we talk about now, that's about compliance. You know, that's a gap. Actually, it raises question about compliance, about reporting, and who is really benefiting from our marine resources? Eh? Who is benefiting? We have legal, we have foreign, you know, foreign vessels that, you know, of that quantity, and then when we're talking about the Bakage, look at that, the amount of money that had been paid, you know, absolutely peanuts. So now you're actually asking, you know, who is actually benefiting from our marine resources? When you look at all that and the other things that we're looking at, it's concerning. It's absolutely, absolutely concerning. Now here is the picture. This is how I see it, okay? Now, on one hand, when we're looking at what we said so far, so on one hand, our fish stock are declining, okay? Now, some they are declining. Well, we are contributing to that in terms of, you know, maybe the government is trying their best to, you know, limit the total allowable catch. But our fish stocks are declining due to the environmental pressure that are largely beyond our control. That's not on our control. Okay. On the other hand, the system of managing what is now left. So now what is left is actually also plagued with, you know, it's plagued by controversy, opacity, you know, and allegation of corruptions. So that's our own doing. Eh? So, and you know who are caught in the middle of that? Eh? So who are caught in the middle of that? It's ordinary Namibians, ordinary workers, ordinary Namibian workers who are just, who know what? Who just want fair day. They only want a fair day pay for a fair day work. That's all what they want. Eh? But they are caught in this, you know, in this mess. But all they want is just a fair day pay for my fair day work. That's all what they want. So, now, what do you think? Okay, what is your take of this? Our telephone number is 08333-66-091. Oh, it's Friday. It is Friday, and so normally Friday is quiet. It's not the end of the month, though. Well, so normally when at the end of the month, and it's Friday, the people abandon you. They abandon. These guys are not, you know, I can't trust them because when it's Friday and it's the end of the month, they abandon you. All right. So, yeah. What do you think? 08333-66-09. We're coming to you live from Ondango Studio. And if you want to speak to me and speak to our listeners, that's where you need to come through. That's where you need to come from. I mean, 08333-66-091. 08333-66-091. What is the president actually doing? We're going to look at that when we come back from this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha with the Kirakaguna, I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, I Moyao, Otaingongoti Samwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitombanawa, Orangika. Seita Nina, Omeaguro, Niranditoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yoyo Kupira, Mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datunda tu heari hamano tano o niaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. 5 minutes past the hour of nine. And if you're just joining us, good morning to you. Welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. All right, and we are right. We still have a lot to talk about, and you're most welcome. You are part of this. You are part of this, and I'm waiting for you to come through. Okay, I'm gonna just keep quiet. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna play anything. I'm just, you know, it's gonna be just dead silent if you don't come. You know, if you don't come through. Okay. So, because I'm waiting on you, all right? Okay, let's do that. Okay, I'm not going to blackmail you. All right, 083-66-091. It's the number that you need to dial to come through. Okay, so what did President 1991 actually say at this week's summit? All right, a few things that the president actually said. The president... When she came to Wavish Bay to listen, she said, "Well, I came here to listen. I want to understand and to reflect together, you know, to reflect together on the way forward." So what she acknowledged that the industry has changed. It has changed. She admitted that jobs, livelihood, and daily reality have been affected. And because of that, she took it upon herself to make sure that, you know, she hear that from the horse mouth, because all stakeholders were in the summit. So government officials, you know, whatever the companies in the fishing industries, the workers. Everybody. So, and she said
the government
has begun a review of harvesting control rules, you know, across all subsectors. Okay? So, and management plans are being developed for all total allowable catch regulated species. I don't know sometimes, man, when you think how, what has changed, what has changed over a period of 4 years or 5 years, you know, the things that we're trying to do now haven't been done before. Haven't been done before. Yeah, it's sometimes you're kind of like, okay, if these things were necessary to avoid some of the things that we experience, and we're not really specifically blaming to the current administration, but you're just looking why were these things not in place before to avoid what is actually happening? Eh? What was that there that has, you know, why we didn't do that before? Now that we find ourselves in this situation. And well, to be fair also, you know, it's when you're looking at also the president being there, it's really significant that the president personally show up in Wavish Bay. I think that's it's commendable, you know, and that also sent a message. It sent a message. It says the highest office in the land recognized. crisis. This is a crisis. And that's what it is. It recognizes. When you look at it, this is not moving. So when you look at this is not good. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, when you look at the summit agenda, okay, when you look at summit agenda, it covered the right topic, you know, economic performance, fish stock status, because those are the things that should be on the agenda. Labor condition, when you look at this, the role of the Anti-Corruption Commission. And even there's also a visit to fishing factories and vessels monitoring system center. So, yeah, and this look thorough. When you look at it, looks very, very, very thorough. Yeah, so, but here's what I want you to think about, okay? So we have heard promises before and said when we're being skeptical, it's not because you just want to become skeptical for being skeptical. And on here, it's not that I'm paid to be skeptical, it's to be paid to be analytical and question everything, not just, you know, cheerleaders. Here we're not just cheerleaders clapping hands. Okay, all right, that's good. No, it's really question everything and see and put that in a bigger context when you look at other issues that are happening around the sector or that are around the country. So, yeah, so as I said, we have heard some of these promises before. After the fish rot, we were promised tighter controls and greater transparency. Okay? This time, you know, we will then put more measures that actually, you know, that tighter control and greater transparency. So we were told system would be cleaned up, okay? They would be cleaned up, really. So, now, here we are. We are in 2026, and workers still protesting. Well, I wouldn't say there would be a total satisfaction of working condition. That would be always the case, but here we are. Some of the issues that were discussed that workers were protesting about. As I said, here we are, and that's what we're still doing. Quota dispute are still erupting. You know, that's still an issue. Our companies are still allegedly gaming the employment system, and the Anti-Corruption Commission is being invited to a summit. They were invited to a summit that should have been addressing these issues years ago. Eh? So, and that's what I'm asking: why they were not addressed, especially when that big scandals that took place. Now, the president spoke about building a strong, sustainable, and inclusive fighting industry. You know, and that's a fine aspiration from the president. That's a fine aspiration. But, my friend, my dear president, you know, the aspiration without action, it's just a speech. It's honestly just a speech. And the question that I keep coming back to is this, you know, what happened after the 3 days are over? Once the 3 days are over, what concrete policies will come out of this summit? Okay? And if there are some policies that come out of that, will there be enforcement, enforceable timeline, kind of like by this time, this should be happening. Yeah? So most of the times, you know, there are policies or things that comes out of those conferences, but that's where it ends. Yeah? So will workers see real changes in their daily lives? Because that's what it's all about. Yeah? Or will this become another round of meeting that produces a long report later that actually just gather dust on a shelf in Windhoek? Yeah? So the unions are calling for urgent reform, and rightly so, and they want strong enforcement of labor law, okay? And they want a review of quota allocation system. That's are the things they want. And they've been asking for that for quite a while now. And they want an end to practice that undermine job security. So that has been a practice in that part of the world, in that industry. Now, and these are not unreasonable demand. They are a bare minimum. If you look at this, a bare minimum that any worker in any industry should expect. Eh? These are bare minimum that any of you, any of us, as a worker in any industry, would actually expect, should expect. All right? So, yeah, that's where we are. Maybe we need to look at more a bigger picture. You know, what does it really this mean to everyone, to all of us as Namibian, now the whole of us as stakeholders, because we are, this is our asset, this is our national asset. So, yeah, this fishing crisis is not just about fish. When you look at this, it's not just about fish. Our fish stock are a national asset, okay? If they are national asset, we need to look how do we take, how is that being taken care of? They belong to the people of Namibia, not to a handful of companies. Sometimes we think that, okay, it doesn't belong to this handful of companies or well-connected individuals. This belong to the people of Namibia. So, and when we talk about that seriously, now look at what the government is collecting. Yeah? Look at what the government is collecting, and this is why we bring some issues like here for you really to understand what is going on. The government collected about 300 million in fisheries revenue. When you look in 2024-2025 financial year, the government collected 300 million in fisheries revenue. Yeah? Now you're looking at that and say, well, that's quite a lot of money. What? Fish export, look at the fish export. Fish export totaled nearly 15 billion. 15 billion, and the government only collected about 300 million. Eh? So that means the state is capturing only about 2% of the total value of the resources. No one sees that? 2%. Of the total value of the resources. 2%. The rest flow to companies. The rest actually go to companies. Foreign buyers. It goes to this company, foreign buyers, and to middlemen. So if more of this was actually Namibian companies, then you would say, all right, okay. Yeah, that's still actually money in the country. But most of these are foreign companies, foreign buyers, and middlemen. So the middlemen that we don't want. Now, I'm not saying the government should grab a bigger share, but I'm saying we need to have a national conversation about whether we are getting fair value. Are we getting a fair value for a resource that belongs to every Namibian? Who decided? Who is deciding that we're getting a 2%? Who is deciding that? We're getting a 2% of the total value of the resource. What kind of business is that? That's what we're getting. Okay? All right. What do you think about that? So our quotas being allocated in a way that it should be. So maybe the question we should be asking is that our quotas are being allocated in a way that maximize benefit for the nation. Is it really maximizing the benefit for the nation? Or are they being distributed in a way that benefit a few at the expenses of the many? From the way you see it, from the way we look at, from the way we see it, is definitely the case. Yeah. The other question maybe also, I mean, it's a question of climate adaptation. Our sea temperature are rising, which is concerning. Our fish stocks are under pressure from environmental changes that we cannot control. This means we need to, I think we need to be smarter about how we fish. Yeah, so we need to be smarter. We need to be smarter how we fish, actually. So we need a better science. We need to have more people actually studying instead of sometimes hiring foreigners to do that. We need better science, local people who understand our own sea and, you know. Yeah, so we need more conservative, I think, catch limits, and that's going to affect, you know, employment. And I think also we need to diversify our marine economy so that we are not overly dependent on a handful of species like those we are looking at, sardine, you know, pilchard and hake and mackerel. So those species that may, because they may not be around in the same number 20 years from now. You understand? If we're not being smart enough, if we are not diversifying our marine economy, you know. So like we have the sardine that has been, you know, under the commercial moratorium for years. You understand? So we gotta be smart somehow. Climate adaptations. I think it's something that we need to look at seriously. So we don't just, you know, fish and fish. Oh, tuna plenty, it's plenty. Just, and then we find ourselves, you know, overfishing, and it's gonna take us some years before we recover. So, my friend, if we don't adapt, you know, the crisis we are seeing today will look mild. Now, it will definitely look mild compared to what is coming, you know. And we can see that this is not a threat or some kind of a threat. This is, we see that. We see the trend. We see the decline. All right. So, what do you think, Namibia? What do you think? 08-08-333-6601. What do you think? 08-08-333-6091.
Omutiha, we take your kabuna, Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, yes, you became Moshiwana. E. Moyao, or Tango got the Samwini. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, or Chica. Saitanina, Omeaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikele FM Media House. Gwe 20 team in Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara Omkashifareki, we mopo, your more program, Leto. Moambo, dengera selma, konara hita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniari. Igele FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And
basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
All right, a very good morning to you if you're just joining us now. And welcome to Unpacking the Day on your favorite station here, Eagle FM. All right, so yeah, as I said, I want to, what do you think? What do you think?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another great edition of Business.
Want you to think about maybe things that you can come and answer. So do you think, do you believe this summit will lead to a real change given the history? So do you think that leads to a real change, or is it just political theater? It could be just a political theater, as we have seen. Or do you think that's going to lead to some tangible changes in the life of the workers, especially in the life of the workers. Now, should the government actually scrap the quota auction system, you know, entirely? Should we scrap that? As some workers, because some workers has been demanding that, should we scrap that, the quota auction system? What do you think? How do we balance the need for, this is also very important, how do we balance the need for foreign investment in our fishing industry with the need to protect Namibia, with the need actually to protect Namibia's jobs and Namibia's interests? How do we balance that? Okay, what do you think what we need to balance the need for foreign investment, but also in our industry, and also protect Namibia's jobs and Namibia's interest? And perhaps the most important, who do you trust to fix this mess? Seriously, who do you really trust to fix this mess? The government, the unions, the companies, or nobody? Who? So, and if you're a fishing worker, anonymous, where are you? So if you are a fishing worker in Wavish Bay or Ludris, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your story. I want to hear your story, especially in Wavish Bay. I want to hear your story. What is life really like on the factory floor, you know, at this time, at this point in time? Have you been affected by the quota cut? That you lost your job because of the quota cut? Are you on a fixed term contract with no job security? So those are some of the things. Okay? Let your voice be heard. Come on. I'm giving you, let your voice be heard, because too often in this country, you know, the people who are most affected by these decisions are the ones whose voices are least heard. So I'm giving you a platform, you know, to come through and let your voice heard. 08333-66-091. 08333-66-091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's very true. This is your number one talk radio station, and you are tuning in. I'm packing the day. Okay, just to... I'll probably wrap up our conversation so far. Some of the point maybe that you can, that the takeaway on today's on this discussion, and we do that after this commercial quickly. So we're going to be back. Stay tuned.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu. Weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovyu nevya peke kwa ugondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. So, twika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva. Owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kwa miedhe ya mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororela ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye kuhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinun.
Well, 30 minutes. It's past in the hour of 9. And if you're joining us, welcome. So we were just talking about fishing crisis, fishing industry crisis, and just to maybe highlight the takeaway of our discussion is that Namibia, the fishing industry is actually in crisis. The fish stock are declining, and the economy is contracting. It's declining as well, and workers are losing their jobs. So this is not alarmism. So kind of like, okay, threatening or something. It is what the data shows. This is exactly what the data shows. We're going in the wrong direction. So the environmental picture is also very serious. And it's getting worse. So horse mackerel biomass is down 8%. Hay quotas have been cut by 10%. Sardine may take a decade or more to recover. So that's the situation. I'm only talking about the most important species, critical species, and climate change is a major driver. And we cannot ignore the science. We can't ignore definitely the science. And workers are bearing the heaviest burden of this. And we're looking at fixed-term contract, no work, no pay arrangement. And labor hire practices are stripping away job security. So that kind of practices is stripping away job security. And the people who do not, who do the hardest work in this industry are the poorest in terms of supply chain. So that is a structural injustice. It's an injustice that need urgent attention, definitely. Yeah, and the quota system remained deeply controversial from Fishrot to HERP that was actually developed to the Walu fishing dispute. So the way fishing rights are allocated has been a source of corruption, fraud, and worker exploitation for years. Yeah, what is the other thing? So Anti-Corruption Commission is anti-corruption is involvement at this week's summit. It's a tacit admission that this problem is far from solved. It's really far from solved. And to have the presence of the president 3-day summit is, I think it's a welcome signal. But the real test is what comes after. So it's what comes after. Namibians have heard promises before, many, many, many promises before. What we need now is action. Action! Yeah, that's what we need. Action, timelines, accountability, and the real consequences for those who exploit our marine resources at the expenses of the nation. That's also what we need. We need some consequent, real consequences, punishment. You know, someone must become, you know, the example of others. That hey, if you do that, this is what's going to happen to you. Maybe fish rot is not what is happening. There is not. It's not good enough. So that's why people still go back to the very same thing. All right. So yeah, if you want to come through for that, you're still welcome. 0833-66-09 0833-66-091 Okay, that's the number. Okay, and when we come back, we're looking at something else. Let's first we're gonna look at some industrial brief that we have in the newspaper, the Villager. So this summit, just to maybe close up on this discussion, the summit in Wabash Bay, it could be a turning point. Really, it could be a turning point. Or it could be another missed opportunity, you know. Could be another missed opportunity. The difference between these two outcomes, it really depends on whether the people in power are willing to make the hard decision. The hard decision that workers, scientists, and ordinary Namibians have been demanding for years. That's the difference. So, and remember, in Namibia, remember Namibia, the fish in the sea belong to all of us, okay? It belong to all of us. Make sure your voice is part of this conversation. All right? So when we come back, we're going to look at some industrial brief that we have in courtesy of the Villager. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small...
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are we?
We are okay, man. It's Friday.
Yeah, it's always like busy day.
No, it's Friday. It's always It's always quiet.
We're in the mood.
You're in the mood.
For the weekend,
definitely. Ango di denyo tandi occupying away something else.
Make a plan.
You're making plans, you know?
For the weekend,
my dear, you know.
I'm telling you. And some of us, we are disappointed by Arsenal, my friend, man.
You guys are.
But for me, It's good that the management, that they come on board to say, no, if you didn't bring any cup, you are going. No, because you guys are like it's doing it on purpose, man.
No, but you're looking at from a point of view of a fan. You know, the company is looking at it. I mean, the club is looking at it from the point of view of business. You know, if you're looking at it from the point of view of business, do you think it's for business? Do you think it's good to actually let Arteta go? No, if he can take me, if he can even next year, if he can take me into the championship, if I can come second or third, you know, that's bringing in money. What if I bring in somebody?
Getting money.
What if I bring in somebody and I end up eighth? And I end up eight or seven or whatever the case may be. You know, we as fans, we kind of like no, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think also for the management that they realize, no, you know, Arteta is failing big time for his tactics. Because remember, they spend a lot of money now.
Yeah.
Especially for three or four players. We're talking about the striker who cannot even score a goal anymore. You are talking about, yeah, so kind of like, you know, the money is not really returning.
Yeah.
What did they spend on, yeah. So,
yeah, no. I honestly think that the word bottling would make sense this time. You know, if Arsenal didn't win the league, especially the league, you know.
It looks like we are not going to get it. And remember one thing that we are also with
the it's 50-50. It's honestly 50-50. I don't also the city. The city is vulnerable.
Now they're having, they become vulnerable.
They are vulnerable. They are vulnerable. When it comes to smaller team, you know how they. When it comes to smaller, and this is also a problem with Arsenal. You know, it's gonna be a problem when it comes to smaller teams. Sometimes some of the teams are trying to survive, and they don't care how they. If they put everybody in front of the goal. You know, they don't care. it's not over. I don't think it's really over. There's a twist and turn still. Yeah.
Which is true. Yeah, we're still waiting for what's going to happen.
Yeah, no,
but
no.
But it was better for you to be secure when you're having like a 9-point.
No. For us, those who are not actually Liverpool, I mean, we're not Arsenal and City, this is good. You know, you're enjoying, you want to have this kind of feeling until you don't know who's going to win until the end of the season. So, that's good football. I didn't want it to have.
That is a competition which we needed.
Exactly.
Like,
I didn't,
what happened to Namibia, like, for the last, just 1 point, they just made it.
Yeah.
1 point for you to ruin the league. That is what we need. Not like our free goals. To go or four games, but still win.
That's not a good thing. We could be, the league is won already and there are 5 games to go. No.
Or this thing of like a plan to leave, every time you know that the PSG is playing, you already win it.
Yeah. or Bayern Munich in Germany or something.
Yeah,
you know?
In Germany also. Sandhaus also, they are getting pressure now.
Yeah.
From Pilate. Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, you want to be on the edge of your seat, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not you are there then and you know that Sanders already won it. Yeah. They're really scoring a hat-trick. Okay, anyway, let us go back to our topic.
Yes.
Yeah, Mike, to tell you, to be honest, corruption is still going on in the fish lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fish industry.
Very much so.
Big one. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Mike, if you look, there are people living in there. Lumas are going like, you know, the father himself is having a quarter, the daughter, and the son-in-law who's a fallen also is having a quarter. And expenses of Namibian. And we're still having people who are going dead hungry.
Yeah.
We're still the kid, having kid in kebabs, dying for malnutrition. But the proteins are going with this father-in-law and his son-in-law and his daughter.
Yeah. There are people making millions and millions of money.
Millions. Just one family alone.
Yeah. And before you even go to that, you're looking at that in 2024, 2025, the government act from the fishing revenues, they only get up 300 million. And imagine the export, it's about 15 billion. Where is the other money going?
Where is it now?
Yeah.
And that's why we are, I don't know who do that in the comparison. Say, no, if you compare Namibia, people who are employed in the sea sector, then you look, I don't know if it's Mozambique or Tanzania, who doesn't have a sea day, man? It's one of them. It's having 800 people working in the fish industry, but they don't have a sea.
Yeah, both, all of them. Maybe you're talking Malawi, but because Mozambique has a sea.
It's Mozambique, man.
Mozambique?
Yeah, I think so.
Is Mozambique doesn't
one
have
of either Tanzania or Mozambique.
No, Tanzania have a sea. You know, Tanzania
have a
sea.
Then it must be Mozambique.
Are you sure?
I'm not so sure. But then somebody might get a comparison like that, and then he said, no, how come the these people they have a sea, but they are employing 800 people?
Yeah.
Working in the fish sector. But here we have a sea, but if you look at the number we are employed, it's close to the what? You see something around 18,000 or something.
direct employment is about 16,000, and then the
16,000. You see now? Yeah, it's gross. You see?
And it's going down every year or every month. You know, because people are retrenched.
Most people are just temporary workers.
Yeah, most of them are now temporary workers. Yeah.
Just imagine. The problem I think which we have in this country is that when it comes to distribution of the welfare, it's only certain people who are enjoying it. My friend, you find this person who is already having upper hand, like where it's even already in tendering process. I mean, it's winning tender left and right, and it's still getting a fish quota again.
Yeah.
Why we don't learn how to share the cake? If you are involved in the construction, it means give a chance to other people who can engage in what? In quotas.
Mm.
If you are in quota, please leave out the people who are going to go in for oil. Broke. Yeah. No, but you find this person is all over. Is the one who doing what? What do you call this airport transfer? Or, not a transfer. Security.
Yeah.
And again, is the one who is also involving in the sea.
You know, the country that you were mentioning, Tanzania and Mozambique, they are both actually on the sea. Yeah.
Both on the sea, eh?
Yeah, both on the sea. And they are neighbors, actually, also, you know.
Oh, I think maybe then Malawi, maybe.
Yeah, could be Malawi.
Yeah.
Or maybe the point you're making could be true as well. It could be one of them, because you're saying you are on the sea and you only employ this much of people. It could be the case is the other way.
Yeah, maybe the other way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because, for us it doesn't make sense that those countries, they are employing 800,000. But here we only have 16 people.
Yeah.
And if you look at our sea, it's one of the what? Having a lot of plenty of fish. Even now we are declining. We are declining because of our negligence.
On this side, of the thing here.
Yeah. And you know why our sea numbers are going down? It's because we don't control our sea.
Mm.
There are too many ship are coming to take catch our fish. There are so many things are going on without our marine officer, they know.
Yeah, we only probably have one vessel that is actually patrolling or something like that.
It's what I heard last time, and it's even running out of the diesel. Just imagine. Yeah. Now, how are you able to control if you are running out of diesel, my friend?
Yeah, and imagine, today I talked about 30 illegal, vessels that were arrested. I don't know how many that are local, and most of these are foreigners. And then definitely that shows you that open up profit, it's an economy, you know? It's an economy, open up profit.
Yeah. And some of them, they are even getting away with so many years. And because remember, we don't recycle even the officer who are controlling that side. Yeah, and they say they know RuPaul, just like our immigration. Come at 8 o'clock. If I'm not there, then somebody will come to able to help you. I'm telling you, how many times I cry even here, I say, no, guys, let us give it to the people who are already in the groups. We are talking about even teams. I'm telling you, so what that team bought in another Nokavi. Now, Imaro, they say, Kola Moskango. What else to keep in Oshkango learning? I'm telling you, these people, they're able to even to set up factory.
Yeah.
And in the long run, you will see they're even going to buy a boat for them to catch themselves. You are not going to sell it.
Yeah, no, I was even looking at when the flood comes, the floating boat. I look at that. We are not simple thing, man, that we can be able to do so that children can be able to cross, or people can be able to cross to go to the clinic or something like that. And for many years, it's not that thing. These things actually found. It's like, oh, these are the things we just know now, but we never. We can't even build simple bridges. You know, floating bridge.
We are importing guys from China.
Oh, that's just a simple thing to do.
The thing is, when you look at the situation, like now we are importing this floating bridge from China. They say how many years it's going to even like. Then I'm wondering, okay, when you can buy maybe two. What about us to invest in ourselves so we can make it? Because remember, this is not only about us. Next time, like in Angola now, Angola is having already flood situation.
Yeah.
We can be able to sell it.
Exactly. So the thing is this. It's a life saving situations. You know, it's not only about. First of all, it bring an end to economic activity. The other thing is that also. For months, you could have actually people not being able to cross, and it threatens their life when they're crossing and all that. How many people we have dying? People are dying during the flood.
A lot of them.
A lot of them. People die during the drowning and all that. You know.
What happened? What about the crocodile?
Yeah, sometimes you don't know what this the omewete rashike, you know? No mayo can go everything.
Everything. What about sometimes we don't plan. This thing will happen and it will happen again and we never prepare. You know, like now this year we have a good lane. Next year, the lane. It's always also warning us that once we receive a good rain, come next year maybe we're having a drought situation. Like now, the water we let it go. We fight us even capturing those waters. So we can do it even for agriculture. This year. I think the president must do something.
Yeah.
And the minister, I don't know. And who is the minister now, officially? This is not really doing anything, man. Look at our agriculture even. Yeah. The people, and why everybody is just quiet? So what I heard is just Nekundi and the urban Tatoriano. Sangwasa.
Yeah.
The less of them. Look at our labor. Look at our agriculture. They are all quiet, but these are crucial, and you can see they are really not performing.
Yeah, but sometimes I think there are so much that put in one thing, you know. That ministry is too big.
It's too big now, but remember, you have ID which they can assist you.
Yeah.
And you have to question what's their report. What have you done for the past? Why are you not doing this? You see, sometimes, as a minister, you don't need to run around. Just a telephone call. You solve already that problem. Because you can tell him, not tell me, you're not aware, you wait until the president to act, that you know, why the officer are declining?
Yeah.
Why these things are happening? You, as a minister, you are supposed to give that report already to the president.
All right, man.
All right, my brother.
Thanks for coming through, yeah?
Sharp, man.
Okay, great.
We're going to end now.
Okay, we're going to end now.
Okay, sharp.
All right. All right. Let's looking at today's brief from our, you know, from the... dose of industrial news from the villager. So first up is the Dore Daman Traditional Authority. They want to renegotiate its stake in the hydrogen project. In the Dores. Okay, what's happening to my mic? Yeah, so they want to renegotiate their stake in the Dores Green Hydrogen Project. The senior traditional councillor, Eman Tarusep, says now that the Dore Green Hydrogen Project is moving past its pilot phase and it into the next stage of development. It's time to go back to the table and talk equity, okay? In plain terms, the community want a fairer share. They want a fair share in the stake. Now, speaking at the stakeholders meeting in Wavish Bay on the 21st and 22nd of April, Arosep put it plainly, the deal that were struck earlier need to be revisited. Everyone involved. Now he made the point. He made the point that development, especially in green hydrogen, has to bring a real benefit to the community, not just pass through it. Shouldn't be just passing through the community, but should make a difference. So the community wants to be in the room. They want to be in the room, not just on the outside. Looking in, so they want to be in the room. We want our people, according to what he said, we want our people to actively participate and be part and parcel of this project. So he said. So, yeah, that said, it's not all friction. Arusep acknowledged that the Dore Dama community already hold a share in the project and that there is a solid with the company running things. So the foundation is there, and they just want to build on it. So he also raised a practical concern, communication. Right now, most of the information about green hydrogen is being shared on social media, and that simply it doesn't reach everyone. So he's calling for radio and community meeting to be used more so that ordinary people actually understand what green hydrogen is and what it means for their lives. So his bottom line, we want our people to be informed, empowered, and fully included in the shaping future that rightfully belong to them. So that's what it's saying. The next tax break could be on the way for green hydrogen equipment. So the Namibia Revenue Agency, Erongo Regional Manager Patrick Tongo, says the tax authority is open to considering exemption and incentives on equipment and the plant component brought in for the green hydrogen project. Now, speaking at that same Wavish Bay stakeholder meeting, Tongo said from custom and exercise point of view, particularly around import, export, and the infrastructure that support them, conversation about tax incentives are already underway. So the idea is that certain equipment imported specifically for green hydrogen projects could get duty and tax exemption, which would help offset cost for companies operating in the sector. Now, Tongo was clear about the agency stance. So we are not here as a deterrent. You know, he explained that while their job is to collect revenue for the state, they also have a role in helping the state drive its development agenda. So things like building new industries or road or hospital or other critical infrastructure. So they have a role. So if a tax relief on green hydrogen equipment helps grow the agenda, so they will be willing to talk. So, and finally, the nearly 89,000 sheep were marketed in March, with the vast majority shipped live. Now, according to the latest figure from the Livestock and Livestock Product Board of Namibia, total sheep marketing jumped from just under 59,000 head in February to nearly 89,000 in March. A big jump, driven almost entirely by live export. Of that total, 75,286 sheep were exported live, while 13,432 were slaughtered. So live export surged by over 57%, showing a strong demand from buyers. And abattoir throughput also went up by about 27%, meaning more sheep were being processed locally. Okay, B and C class abattoir saw a modest pump of around 11%, up from about 3,000 to just over 3,300 head. But that is still well below what they were doing earlier. Now, as for where the live sheep are going, South Africa is still the dominant buyer, taking in 99.75% of Namibian live sheep export. So that's slightly down from 100% in February. A tiny fraction, just a tiny fraction of about 0.22, went to Angola, and then about 0.02 to Zimbabwe. So the market is still overwhelmingly South African, with barely any diversification to speak of. All right, that's your industrial brief for this week. Until next time, stay informed. All right, and basically, that brings us to at the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day this week. That's all what we have for you today. And I'm crossing over to Tate France in the capital. In the capital for Kuthamosha. So I'll be back. I think I have an interview around 11 o'clock. We are starting. What is that? We are starting the trade fair. Ondanga Trade Fair is starting today. I think I will have an interview with someone from GIPF, around 11. So, yeah, tune for that. Tune in for that at 11 o'clock. So, all right, from me, Michael Shivelli, I'll see you then later. I will leave you in the hands of the Tefrans coming up with Kuthamosha. From me, it's goodbye. If we don't see each other or hear each other again.